Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28, entitled Jesus Predicts His Death. You can find this on the Church Bibles on page 984. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person accordingly to what he has done. I'll tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
I can say it's a real privilege. I think I'm going to do something. You might be planning to do this at the end, but let's do it now. Can all the Sunday school leaders stand up, please? Because I think we should pray for them, don't you? I think they're clearly doing some amazing work, and I think it'd be good to pray for them. So if you're a Sunday school leader, or whatever you call it, junior fellowship or whatever, will you stand up, please? So that we can just... Marion, are you going to stand up? Oh, that is Marion standing up, sorry. She's my great aunt-in-law or whatever she is. why don't you gather around them, lay hands on them, if they're okay with that. That means people need to stand up, look a little bit enthusiastic. Congregation, are we going to kind of... Oh, wow. Thank you, lady at the back with a big smile on her face. I appreciate that. Come on, these people bring up the next generation of your church. Let's get around them and let's pray for them, please. Come on, let's do that. I think if we're going to do... It's a Sunday school service. We should definitely give God thanks and ask God's anointing on these special people. Father God, I thank you for those who give up their time to be fed, to feed others. I thank you for the way that they are creating curiosity about you in the next generation. I thank you for their commitment and faithfulness to sow seeds, to raise disciples, to see you glorified in the lives of young people. We pray that you give them the energy, the wisdom, and the encouragement that they need. In Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys, for what you do for children. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Are we grateful for what they do for children? I might hear some noise that expresses that. I don't know. Is there some noise that people normally clap at that sort of point? I don't know. Not for me, for them. It's very good. Thank you. So we're going to be thinking about risk this morning. We're going to think... I did wonder if one of those was kicking about. That might help me because I don't really stand still. Yeah. we're gonna be thinking about risk, and so I'm gonna need any warning whatsoever, and we've got all this ready. Is to come and sing some karaoke for us. Okay. Now I wanted to do this fairly. Because that's a big risk, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you're feeling a little bit nervous right now about coming up to sing some ABBA in the front of church, okay? But so what I've done is I put a sticker on the back of your chair if it's you, okay? So you now need to start looking behind the chair to find out if it's you. Brian is not even going to look behind his chair. Right, I'm joking. But honestly, hands up if your stomach at that point was kind of like, if he's put a sticker behind my chair, I am going to hurt him, okay? That was probably quite a big risk, wasn't it? As a nation, do you think do we struggle with risk? I think we do. I don't think we have a very good relationship with risk. And in our Bible reading, we heard Jesus challenging Peter to risk everything for the sake of the kingdom. As churches, do we wrestle with risk? So I wear two hats in life. I'm this Baptist minister trying to lead this small faith community and exploring who Jesus is and what it is to follow Jesus. And I do that for kind of three and a half days a week. And then for a couple of days a week, I have this bizarre job that I work with parents of elite sports teams. So I work with parents of England rugby, England hockey, England cricket, Saracens rugby, Essex cricket, Somerset County cricket, and a lot of the top independent schools in the country. My world is ridiculously diverse. And as I work with parents of the England under 18 rugby team, cricket team and hockey team, I say to those coaches, what would you like me to tell the parents? And one of the things that always comes back is the coaches say, please tell the parents to stop packing their children's bags. Now, when I first met the England under 18 rugby team, I was really intimidated. These guys are monsters. They're like up here, and they're, you know, and I played rugby, but not at that level, but they are huge, huge individuals. And it really amuses me to think that their mums and dads are still packing their pants and socks just in case they forget it. And do you know why those parents pack their bags? Because they're afraid that if my little boy or girl doesn't turn up with the right kit, they might miss out on something really, really important. There's a challenge for those of us who live on Harold Hill. People on Harold Hill get very, very scared, understandably, of when awful events like terrorist events happen in London, which are truly awful events. But because of the perceived risk, parents on Harold Hill ban their children from going on school trips to inner London places like Gants Hill and others. So my children are very often one of the only people on school trips after there's been an awful terrorist attack. We see mission agencies struggling to recruit faithful followers of Jesus for long-term mission overseas. Is our relationship with risk part of the root cause then? And I'm not sure that churches do any better, especially as most of our churches seem very similar to how they were 20 years ago. 18 years ago, I stood on this stage and made marriage vows to my wife. How different is this church from that time? I don't know. I don't know it very well anymore. So I'm just asking that as a rhetorical question. The fear and concern that the church is being marginalised, and woe betide to it that anybody suggests real church, means that the risky business of the church analysing itself and changing to be able to be better to serve Christ and to serve this generation of Christians and its local community means we often shy away from risk-taking decisions. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Change? Sorry, that's an old joke, but it's still, on the whole, pretty true. And even Alison and I, as we lead this little faith community, trying to work out who Jesus is on a Monday night, people still say to us, when are you going to have a proper church service? Don't worry, I'm not about to suggest we change everything. But is our lack of ability to risk what is holding us back from fully embracing the humanity that Jesus calls us to and modelling the humanity that Jesus calls us to these wonderful children and young people? Just as Peter did in our reading this morning, he had a good thing going, Peter. He was Jesus' best buddy. Peter, who was a fisherman, wasn't really sure about where his life was going, was now the centre of attention. A privileged witness to lots and lots of miracles, and now Jesus is saying, this is all going to end. And Peter's response is, no, it isn't. And Jesus says, get behind me. You don't understand my plans. You are merely concerned with human things. Peter's present existence was not to be risked. And Jesus goes on to say, you are a stumbling block to me because you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So very quickly, because the children are in, I want to explore a few human interests that hold us back from risking what it is to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to smell like Jesus. But am I willing to risk enough to receive that? The first thing I want to talk about is, are we willing to risk believing that God truly loves us? Sounds a bit of a weird thing, doesn't it? Of course, we talk about God loves us all the time, Richard. But do we truly get that? I want to tell you about Katrina Douglas. Katrina Douglas won the British Golf Open in the early 1980s. Her family were people of faith, followers of Jesus. And when she won the golf tournament, she won that golf tournament primarily because her dad... Does anyone here play golf? Does anybody? A few golfers in the high school? She won that golf tournament because her dad encouraged her to take up golf and to play golf. Her dad was her inspiration and her mentor, but sadly her dad died 3 months before she won the British Open as an amateur, beating professional golfers. Very sad. And so the press gathered around Katrina after her win and they said, "Your dad, he'll be looking down right now and he'll be so proud of you, won't he?" And she turned around and said to the reporters, "No, he won't." Bit of a tumbleweed moment, silencing everybody. She went on to say, "My dad's pride was never affected by what I did with a little white ball on freshly cut grass. My dad was always proud of me." That, ladies and gentlemen, is the gospel. That God's love for us is never affected by what we do with a golf club and a golf ball. It's never affected by what we do with our finances. It's never affected by how we sin or not. God loves us. And for you kids, the most important thing is, it doesn't matter how other people perceive you. I love the peer pressure stuff from this group. I thought that was absolutely awesome. Great job, you rocked that. Not quite as cool as the dancing. That rocked it even more. But for me, helping our young people deal with peer pressure and the challenges of what it is to follow Jesus is not based in them being bold and strong, although that does help. It's actually based in them knowing that they are loved by their eternal Father and nothing that will happen to them. No peer pressure, no bad choices or good choices, no mistakes will ever change that. You are loved. And you, adults, you are loved. This week, when you've got that boss who's doing your head in, you're loved. You can stand up to them. You are loved. You are not defined by what is or is not in your bank account, by how successful your children are or are not. You are not defined by that. The Father loves you. My mum, bless her, thought that parental success was getting 3 children through university. The first, her eldest, and dare I say her cleverest, probably did that first time round. In fact, I've got 2 degrees now because I got my first degree and then I went to Spurgeon's and got a degree as well. Not that I brag about that to my brother or sister ever. Maybe a few times. My younger brother, he thought university was for other things other than learning. So he did his first year 3 times and my mum and dad kept paying for it. Because successful parenting was 3 children going through university. He doesn't use his degree now. He has never used his degree. He does a very good job and he enjoys life. But his degree is a worthless piece of paper. But because my parents thought that being loved and acceptable meant a certain standard of education for their children, my mum and dad forked out far more money for him than they did for me, and I'm not bitter about that at all. We are loved. And if you could help these children get anything, it's that nothing they do will change the fact that this church loves them. Nothing they can do. Think of the worst thing teenagers can do, and that won't stop this church loving them as they mirror the love of God. There might be consequences, I'm not denying that, but that won't change the love for them. And on your Sunday school, how much do you love them? I mean, truly love them being here. And that love becomes the foundation for them to go and risk following Jesus into all the parts of the world. That this church is a harbour of love. We sung about My Lighthouse. I think that song's really weird, because we go away from lighthouses in danger, but in the song we go towards them. A bit weird. But harbours are always a place of security, and that's what church should be for young people. Whether they disappear for a couple of years, or whether they come in faithfully week in, week out. We love them. We love them. The next thing I want to think about is encouragement. Who here's done park run? Has anyone done a park run? Brian, you do a bit of a park runner, are you? That's brilliant. Once. I've done park run a few times. I know it doesn't look like it, but I can occasionally complete park run. The thing with park run is every 200 metres, somebody is cheering you on. Did you know that? Every 200 metres, somebody is cheering you on. I'd like two people to come and play with my catch thing here, please. I'd like one person. Oh, it probably needs to be you need to be able to catch. Anybody in the back, can you catch? Anybody? You can catch. Cool. Come on then. Can anybody throw? Can we have anybody got a throw? Throw and catch. Come on then. I need another volunteer. I'll be passive aggressive. We'll just wait. It's your time, not mine. Thank you, sir. Halfway down. Come on. How you come? Come on then. Right. What's your name, young man? Joshua. Yep. Right. If you go and stand near the band, Joshua, because that's going to cause more carnage if it goes wrong. Sir, if you stand here and hold that. Okay. Right. Joshua, if you throw the ball at the net, you're going to use the... It's really pingy. Okay? And you're going to try and ping it back, and Joshua, you're going to try and catch it. Go and have a practice. Oh, good try. Try again. Maybe just a little bit underarm, because it's... Okay, maybe not. We're just going to ignore me. Yeah, brilliant. Right, stop. Wait. I'd like you all, and you kids can move as well, just don't get near the net or the ball, because you'll get hurt. I'd like us to create an environment which is going to help them succeed at this task. I'd like you to think about, they're going to do this again, what is the best way to help them do well at this task right now? Okay, ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Keep going. Keep going. Brilliant, right, stop there. Give them a round of applause. Very, very good. Thank you. Now that's fascinating. I asked you to cheer people clapping a ball, and you cheered them, your Sunday school leaders stood up and you all kind of went asleep. Isn't that fascinating? I just think that, the church is pretty naff at encouragement. If I was being really honest. We're not very good at cheering people on. We should give God thanks that Park Run isn't at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, or our numbers would be decimated. Because every 200 metres, somebody you never met before is going, well done, keep going. I don't think we risk enough as church because we aren't encouraged enough where we're already at. Church should be a place where everybody gets people, look them in the eye several times this morning and goes, you came back, great stuff. Well done. Keep going. You're back here another week trying to work out who Jesus is, trying to be faithful to Jesus. Some of you have been here forever. Okay? Yeah? And have they been encouraged because they've been that faithful for that? It's very hard to risk if you don't feel encouraged. It's very hard to take a decision in the week to try and follow Jesus with family conflict or work challenges or peer pressure, if you don't know you're going to come back here on a Sunday or Friday night prayer meeting or whatever it is and be cheered on. How many of these kids are going to get high fives over lunch for what they did? You might feel uncomfortable giving a high five. Get over it. Okay? If we were to do a survey of these children after services like this and say, how did you feel after it? Would really encourage to come top of that list. Yeah, that means, you know, fist pump. Young lady in the back corner there, your dancing absolutely rocked it. If I wish I could dance like you and look as cool as you. Maybe I do look as cool, but your dancing absolutely rocked it. Okay? We need to be encouraging these guys. Marion has got a box of chocolates for the person who gets the most high fives from adults over... I can't stay for lunch, so Marion sorted that out just now. She's just learned about that, okay? But you need to get high fives off adults. And the person with the most who says to Marion later on, okay, are you not staying for lunch either? No. Well, anyway, find Marion next week, okay? She'll sort that out. Let's give each other some encouragement. How many times in the New Testament does Paul challenge us to encourage one another? Yet often church is really good at moaning to one another. If we are going to take risks for the kingdom of God, if these young people are going to take risks for the kingdom of God, they need to be deeply encouraged. deeply encouraged. And lastly, I just want to quickly talk about discipleship. As a church, and I mean the church, not this church, the church, we've really misunderstood discipleship. Spending a lot of time in sports environments has helped me learn far more about discipleship than being at Spurgeon's College did. Because what we tend to do as Christians is we talk about discipleship like this. We say, don't gossip. And who would agree that that's a good thing? I would agree that's a good thing. We say, don't gossip. We set the standard. We put the standard over here. Most people are over here. We expect them to jump from here to here because we've said it once or we've talked about it in a group. Rather than saying, what's the next step from here to here? And then from here to here. Kids, I've got some news for you. You're all going to give in to peer pressure. That's being a teenager. Sorry. Okay? I love the fact that you looked at peer pressure today. I hope each week you come back and think, where this week can I stand up for being me and who Jesus made me be as a teenager this week? Adults, this week, where are you going to be challenged to gossip? Where are you going to be challenged to lie? Where are you going to challenge to be miserable rather than encourager? What's the next step on that journey? Let's stop talking about discipleship as setting the holy standard that God talks about and assuming people are going to leap from here to here without any coaching in between, without taking the next step. I'm not saying don't set the standard. Please don't mishear me. Yes, let's set the standard, but let's break it down for people and let's have a ton of grace on this bit between here and here. People don't risk because we talk about following Jesus is over here and they're over here and it just seems too far. If we are going to be followers of Jesus, we need to help people take the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. And it's the same for the whole things in church life. That's what Sunday school is. That's what small group Bible studies are. That's what good preaching is. It's saying this is the standard, but here's the next step. When I hang out with England sports teams, they're not saying to them, we want you to behave like the senior sides do. They're saying, how do we get you ready to behave like the senior sides? What's the next step involved in moving towards being a rugby player at the 2023 World Cup? But we don't expect you to be there yet, but we want you to be on the way. And there's tons of grace involved in making mistakes so that you can be shaped into that pattern. As Christians, we say, be like this. And then we abandon people so that they can't take the next step. And it's just too far. And it means they don't risk because it seems so impossible. Kids, you've listened really, really well. You've partaken really, really well. Listen, what I do with sports teams, and don't tell anybody this, really isn't going to make that much difference. If England or any other team win a World Cup, nothing really changes. No, does it? You know, nothing really changed on the outcome of a sports fixture. I don't know if you're who you're rooting for this afternoon. I bet there's some Liverpool fans here, aren't there? Glory hunting, yeah, I thought there'd be a few. And another one. My brother's a Liverpool fan. We've never lived there. I don't even think he's ever been. But nothing changes on the outcome of sport. But what really changes is people following Jesus and taking risks for the kingdom in their workplace, in their home environment, in their nation. And that makes a significant difference for eternity. If England win the next Rugby World Cup, I doubt they will. New Zealand will. But nothing eternally will change as a result of that. But if we can take risks for Jesus and change where he is calling us to change, the eternal outcomes of that, for these young people and children, and for ourselves, and for those we affect, will be massive. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up my cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world? I asked you to sing karaoke. You felt really uncomfortable. I don't blame you. I would have done so too. Where this week can you take your next step of risk for Jesus? What justice do you need to stand up for? What word of encouragement do you need to give? What forgiveness do you need to embody this week? What family member have you not spoken to because of bitterness you need to pick the phone up? What boss do you need to stop stabbing in the back? What neighbour do you need to have the courage to take some flowers around to? What act of faithfulness with your finances do you need to take this week? So that we may continue to work towards losing what we have in this world to gain everything in following Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you that you call us to risk this fragile earthly life which holds nothing, so that we might gain everything in Jesus. Give us the grace, Lord, to know that we are deeply loved, that our identity is so firmly in your love that we have the courage to risk everything. Give us the grace to be encouragers, to high-five faith when we see it, to give our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they be young or old, the encouragement that they need to follow you in this coming week. And Lord, may we learn to journey with each other and take the next step that we need, so that faithfully, step by step, plod by plod, we become more like the church that Jesus calls us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.